Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Skylar Jeremias, and I'm an assistant editor at CHE. Today, I will be joined by Peter Urbanowitz, Managing Director and Co-Head of Alvarez & Marsal's Healthcare Industry Group and the former Deputy Counsel and Chief of Staff for the Department of Health and Human Services. We discuss the FDA's recent shift in priorities to address supply chain issues, device shortages, and the backlog of drug approvals, as well as how technology can help. We also talked about how hospitals are handling these issues and what they can do as they wait for the FDA to catch up. So to start us off, what are some of the things that the FDA has fallen behind on because of the pandemic?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that the FDA has had, is just like any other organization during COVID, was being on site. So much of the FDA's work is done on site in manufacturing plants where it goes in to inspect manufacturing practices. And I know a good deal of this from my time two times actually at the department as the Deputy General Counsel and also as the Chief of Staff for the Department of Health and Human Services. A great deal of what the FDA has to do both within the United States and also abroad, it's very important abroad, is to make sure that the products that are being manufactured, whether it's pharmaceutical products, biologic, or some kind of device or a medical equipment that's regulated by them, they have to see what the manufacturing processes are like. And the only way to do that is to physically be there. So COVID certainly created issues for them that they let everyone know they had these issues with getting on site to review manufacturing practices.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know personally, in addition to this podcast, I also host a podcast covering some of the major issues in the biosimilar industry. And we've definitely seen a dip in the approvals for biologics and biosimilars over the past year and a half. And that's pretty alarming considering that is an industry that's growing. And we were expecting to see a lot more approvals than there were in 2020 and 2021.
Right. And it's important not only for something that's already approved where they want to go in and they're going in for an inspection because it may just be time for a spot inspection or it may be time, you know, for a regular inspection. It's also important on the front end too, where they're, someone's coming up with a new device or certainly a new pharmaceutical and they want to inspect the processes before manufacturing, wide-scale manufacturing begins.
How are these issues impacting hospitals and patient care?
I think the issues with the inspections affected hospitals, particularly in the area during COVID of trying to find protective equipment, which is FDA regulated, and making sure that they were of quality and grade, that hospitals have to use. So I think that was, certainly an issue. Another issue too was just with manufacturing certain drugs and other, formulas that are used in a hospital setting. And you may have had manufacturing plants that closed down because of worker issues, closing down for, reasons of protecting the staff. So I know there were, PPE issues. Everybody had those issues at hospitals, but just on routine items that they might use in a hospital, I heard from many of them. I mean, dozens of hospital systems, how they were challenged in getting just routine things that they use in the hospital.
How is the COVID-19 pandemic expected to impact the FDA's policies and processes in the long term?
Well, one thing that they have focused on, and I think is a very good thing, and actually pre-pandemic, they had given a great deal of thought to supply chains and security of supply chains. So much of what comes in to this country in the way of medical supplies, whether it's pharmaceuticals, biologics, or even just, masks and gowns, comes from abroad. And When you have supply chain disruptions because they're no longer sending that product to the United States, or they are keeping the product in the country that it is being manufactured in, or new entrants are trying to, jump into the fray because there's a shortage of something, and they say, "Hey, I can make an N95 mask. I can make a medical grade surgical mask." Well, who knows if they can or not because they're new. The FDA hasn't checked them and see whether or not they can actually manufacture at that grade. So they have created this supply chain. The FDA has created this supply chain initiative where they're going to see how do they harden the supply chain? How do they make sure that whatever's coming into the supply chain is approved, meets standards in the United States? And secondly, more importantly, I think, how do we make sure that we have enough onshore within the United States manufacturing capacity for certain critical items? One of the real challenges was just the basic ingredients that go into some very basic drugs. A lot of those basic ingredients are made in countries like India or China. And if there's a major supply chain disruption, it affected manufacturing in the United States. Not that they couldn't manufacture here in the United States, but they couldn't get the base materials in order to do it. So that's something the FDA has done, is created this task force and initiative to really study supply chains and make sure that they're going to be effective in the future.
What are some of the implications of the FDA's actions? If priorities have to shift, what has to give?
When you're in a federal agency, the constraint is always budgeting and how much money do you have for something. And for the FDA, it's always a challenge because you need money for labs. They have probably over 50 labs in the United States. They have lots of personnel, and you have to decide where you're going to deploy your resources. You want to make sure that you have enough resources to approve new drugs, and make sure that it's expedited, and that you're not slowing down new drug approvals because you don't have enough staff or lab capacity to do something like that. But then you also want to have the money to go out and do these inspections and make sure that whatever it is, the device is properly being made, and there's no quality issues there. So it's all a matter of managing resources. This administration has taken the position that they're going, not that resources is ever a constraint, or there's all the money in the world, but they are putting a significant amount of more money into the FDA to address the supply chain issue and also address the issue of, how do we have enough staff and resources to make sure that that drugs and devices can be approved on an expedited basis and there's not this log jam within the FDA.
What can hospitals and health systems do in the meantime as they wait for the FDA to catch up and solve supply chain and device shortages?
One of the things that we have been advising our hospital system clients over the last year is now's the time to look at your supply chain. A lot of the supply chain issues have caught up on some of the, again, basic protective gear that everybody was scrambling last March, April, May to try to find enough. So that has solidified itself. But now there's a bigger question of, okay, we got through that crisis, but how much supply should we have on hand? Over the last couple of years, more and more hospital systems have been getting to a just-in-time inventory, not dissimilar to a lot of manufacturing organizations, automobile factories, factories that make appliances, where you don't want to have 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 months of inventory sitting in a warehouse because that's very expensive to maintain. You might have 2 weeks' worth or 3 weeks' worth. And that works when the supply chains are running efficiently and when there's no shortages, but it doesn't work when they're not. So, we have been working with hospital systems to say, okay, we need to rethink this. and go back in time to the way we used to operate when maybe we had a few months of inventory of something that we couldn't possibly run out of, or if there's a shortage, we don't want to not have it. But when you do that, you have to make a critical financial decision because that's cash. Instead of having cash sit in the bank or have cash available to pay your employees, you're going to have that cash sitting in a gown or a mask or intravenous drugs or something in your warehouse, in your pharmacy, and it costs money. That's stranded capital. So you have to figure out how you're going to do that, and not tax the organization too much by stranding a lot of your capital in inventory. But it's important, and I think COVID has demonstrated that there are certain items that you have to have around, and you have to have them for a period of time if there is a disruption in your supply chain.
How are the pharmaceutical and technology sectors working to adjust to the FDA's new focus?
I think one of the main things that they need to look at, and they are looking at, is on the base materials and how do they source those. And is there a way to source those within the United States or a more controlled environment than looking offshore for these? So I think what they're doing right now is trying to figure out, just like hospitals, how do they get the supplies that they need to manufacture what they need? And I think the other thing they're also going to be looking at too is inventory levels. How much do they keep, on their shelves that they can ship out and have something of a backlog? The other thing they're looking at, and they're being required to look at by the FDA, is expiration dates. That's always a challenge because you want to order a lot, but you don't want it to expire. It's sitting on your shelf, and it's like, boy, that expired a month ago, and now we can't use it. And I think there's always been a level of conservatism at the FDA, which I think is appropriate, about expiration dates. But the FDA has actually, as part of their supply chain initiative, has gone back to not only drug manufacturers, but again, people who make protective gear that might have an expiration date, and say, what's the furthest out we could go safely? Let's think about that when we approve a drug or a device. How long will this be stable for effective use? So, one of the things I think all the drug companies are thinking about is how do we extend out the expiration dates of our drugs?
How do you anticipate new COVID-19 variants will impact the FDA's goals? Is it only a matter of time before the FDA's priorities have to shift back?
Well, one of the things that has been taking up a lot of time at the FDA is fast approval, fast track approval of COVID-19 therapies. Clearly, the vaccines and Operation Warp Speed was really a very unique model for the FDA to fast track vaccines. And they've been trying to do that with all these other therapies as well, and fast track, get the trials going quickly. Get overlapping trials that you can get a quicker approval or at least an emergency use authorization. So that has been taking up a lot of time and resources and people at the FDA to do that and kind of put those ahead of other drugs that are in the pipeline for approval. So they're going to want to be focused on it, and they or continue to be focused on it, because if we still have these variants around, you got to figure out, and there's already been some news about, certain therapies that, may have been effective for the original forms of COVID and are not effective for the variants. And so how do we tweak those therapies to make them effective? So I think a lot of their time is still going to be tied up because we want to make sure we have these therapies around, and COVID's still around, unfortunately, not just in the United States, but all around the world. And I mean, the FDA is really the preeminent reviewer of new drugs and therapies. And so that's why the FDA sort of has this obligation to the world, because the FDA really is the gold standard on approval. And if it's approved by the FDA in the United States, it's likely to be used all around the world. So it's going to be a challenge for them because their thought was, well, now we can move on to all the other, things that were in the pipeline, now that COVID has been taken care of and we have these therapies. But I don't think that's going to be the case. We have therapies right now that may not be effective against the variants.
What should biopharma and med tech companies be doing to stay ahead in a post-pandemic world?
Clearly, they need to be thinking about supply chains and making sure that those are hardened for their own, their own manufacturing practices. They need to look at what the FDA is expecting on them in terms of supply chains, expiration dates, and the like. I think the other thing that they need to be thinking about, they need to think about it, but the FDA is also thinking about it, is the quick way that we got vaccines approved in the United States and proving up their safety and efficacy in really a truncated manner was demonstration that maybe we can accelerate approval periods and trial periods. And it was sort of a real-time experiment on could we do it and could we do it safely. Now, they were able to do it because the FDA poured a lot of resources into it, and you can't do that with every drug and biologic out there. But the way that they did overlapping clinical trials, it provided a lot of instruction that maybe we can reduce the time period for reviewing drugs. And I think drug companies and biopharma needs to think about that because their competitors may be thinking, well, if we can convince the FDA to do this, since the FDA is thinking about it, we can get to market quicker. And the idea of a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 year time period, all of these may get truncated in the future, or at least the time period gets tighter than it traditionally has been.
And lastly, do you have any concluding thoughts?
I think the point just to make again is, look, COVID was a real eye-opener for supply chain and how fragile the supply chain is in all areas of our life, not just things that we might want. If anyone wants a new refrigerator right now, good luck, because the time period for getting a new refrigerator or a new automobile is very long because the supply chains got disrupted. And most people, not everyone, can live without a new refrigerator, but you can't live without certain things in the hospital. So I think the one thing COVID has demonstrated is we have got to have hardened supply chains. We need to make sure that if there is a disruption, not just with the pandemic, but a disruption because a ship gets caught in the Suez Canal, or a disruption because there is a strike in a United States port and you can't get product through a port in the United States, or we only have one manufacturing facility, that makes a particular item, and there's a fire or there's a disruption and we can't get it. I think COVID has really put the spotlight on how fragile our supply chains are.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias.